You're tuned to Deadly Choices Radio with your host, Sinead Clements.
Yes, that's right. You're listening to Deadly Choices Radio on 98.9 FM for the best country. And I am Sinead Clements. I'm a proud Kalkaroon, Birra and Jittawa woman from far north Queensland. Before I go ahead, I'd like to acknowledge and pay my respects to the traditional custodians of the land from which we're broadcasting from here today in Meanjin. So welcome to the Deadly Choices Radio Show, our weekly show dedicated towards mob making deadly choices. Remember, making a deadly choice is all about eating healthy, remaining active in both body, mind and spirit, ensuring you keep up to date with your 715 health checks, resisting any temptation to take up smoking or take the right steps to quit smoking for you and your mob. So in the studio today, we're joined by iHealth Manager Celia McCarthy, Deadly Choices Ambassador and Women's Rugby League legend Talisha Harden. And we'll be also joined by Dr. Jonathan a bit later on, giving us a bit of a rundown on all COVID-19. So Celia, where are you from? And how long and what do you do here within IUIH?
Hey Sinead, I'm from Rocky originally, grew up there on Darumbal country, and I moved down to Brisbane in about 95, so been down here for quite a while now. I'm working for the Institute of Urban Indigenous Health now, and I'm an optometrist by trade, and so for eye health services manager, pretty much that's about supporting the optometrists and our deadly eye health assistants into giving out some comprehensive eye testing in the clinics.
Yeah, deadly. You can help us keep looking as deadly as we can and look at our mob being deadly. But, obviously we have Celia in today because it is World Sight Day tomorrow, 14th Thursday. We're talking all things eye health. Celia, tell me a bit about the campaign that you're running at the moment.
Yeah, so the Institute for Urban Indigenous Health, we're partnered with the Fred Hollows Foundation, and we have a campaign called the Deadly Urban Eyes Campaign, and it's really about getting out the messages to people about having an eye test and the importance of eye testing even if you haven't got symptoms. And the main two target groups we're trying to get the message out to is kids who are 5 years and older, mm-hmm. who have never had an eye test, and we want to set them up for a bright future. So they can, nothing gets in the way of their education, their sport and those sort of things, and anything else they enjoy. And then the other part of the campaign is to get the message out to people who are living with diabetes, and that's because diabetes can affect your eyes, and we really want to prevent that any sort of vision loss or blindness that diabetes can cause to the eyes. And that's because 98% of vision loss is preventable or treatable. So having that early check with us is really important.
Yeah, and we were having a talk a bit earlier saying, it's kind of inevitable that you do get reading glasses, as you grow older. But it's interesting you just said there how much is preventable in that sense. So how do we prevent our eyes from deteriorating?
Yeah, so I suppose that's why we want to start with the kids when they're on that starting school sort of age, that sort of prep, grade one sort of age. It's a really great time to have an eye test. We can see any kids before that. If you've got any worries, bring them in. We certainly can see them even if they're babies. But, what we want to do is that five-year-old is just get that message out that eye tests are not scary, they're not invasive, they don't hurt. Actually, the kids find them really fun. They love it.
One of the easier tests, I think, when you talk about it all. I'd happily get my eyes test rather than a lot of other things.
I mean, even that eye test comment, Sinead, makes me think about like how you can feel like a test is right or wrong, but it's not about that, of course. It's really just about the optometrist, checking everything. And we're checking not just the vision and talking about glasses. We can talk about that and give you some information. But we're also checking the eye health, which is why we really want to focus on that health side of things. And, it's a great service in the clinics, because it's not about glasses particularly. It's about information and just making sure that your eyes are healthy.
Absolutely. Like, I think, I definitely got my test not long ago. It'd been so long since I had gone, probably since high school actually. And I know for a fact that, like, my eyes get dry sometimes, and it could be for any reason, and I'd have just tears rolling down my eyes and be like, Sinead, are you crying? I was like, no, just dry. My eyes are just dry. But, just kind of, I guess there's interesting how we look at our eye health as a whole as opposed to just reading and writing and being able to see, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's right. And I think that's the thing is over the years, I suppose we're working out that if we sort of look at the whole body together and talk about all the things we can help with, that's where we get where we can really help. And, yeah, I mean, I'm just looking across the room, I see Talisha here, and she's a deadly speech pathologist too. So, yeah, so it's great to work with people like her in the clinics too, and that's where we can make the difference.
Now, Talisha, before we go, who's your mob, where are you from, and what do you do particularly here in IUIH?
Yeah, so I'm a proud Argun clan woman from, I guess, Badu Island in the Torres Strait, but we've got ties kind of everywhere, big family, big mob, Bowies, Mills, Nonas. So, yeah, there's a lot of us floating around. So shout out to all the TI mob who might be listening in today. But I've been with IUE about 5 years now as a speech pathologist, but also as a Deadly Choices ambassador as well. So for me, health is kind of central to everything that I do, both on the field and off the field. So, yeah, really privileged to work for the Institute.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, it was funny, we were just doing some facts on the eyes recently, and I was just, I was telling Celia, I'm a sneezer. I don't like to sneeze, but I'm, you know how those people who just, they sneeze and they don't stop and it stops the whole room? Yeah, that's me. But, you know, how you, the fact that you can't close your eyes without sneeze, when you sneeze, you've always got to close your eyes. And I was like, I've tested that theory. I'm pretty sure it's true. But also I found out that 80% of learning comes from your eyes. And, you know, for me personally, I'm a very visual person. You know, obviously, Talisha, your back around being sports too, you know, you got to see things, and I like to not only visualize them literally, you know, running my line the way I run it, but it's so important for learning. Hey, Celia, and I think that's exactly why we're targeting our mob who just before they get into that schooling age, how important it is for our little ones to be able to see and participate in everything.
Yeah, absolutely. I just, that makes me laugh, that story. It's a good one, Sinead. Just at the Junior Murray Carnival recently, we sort of asked some kids, what do you want to have deadly vision for, essentially? And, they were saying they want to be able to read well and they love colouring in. They really enjoy that sort of stuff. And then they were talking about... then I had one of the little fellas gave us a detailed count of exactly why he had to like pass the ball here and then he had to run here and he gave us a detailed count. And we got it on camera, which is really cute. So that's one of the things within the campaign too, is just really trying to get the message out there, but also just kind of get those community days and get back from community, you know, what's important, you know, why is it important to a kid? Because kids, I suppose one of the things with kids is they don't, they know what they like to see with their eyes and they know they enjoy it, but they don't necessarily know what other people see. So sometimes they might have something happening with their eyes and, you know, some glasses or some help with some exercises can really help them do better at school. And it can really, and as we were discussing, Sinead, I think it's changed since I was a kid. I'm a lot older than you, but... and even since you're a kid, is that glasses are pretty cool now. Now the kids come in,
They're more normalised, I think, in so many ways. It is what it is.
Yeah, absolutely. It's pretty cool, you know, wearing glasses. Yeah. I wear glasses myself. You can't see me.
Yeah, Celia, you pull those glasses off and there's a wide range of deadly glasses these days. My mob, they like to get the petrol station glasses sometimes and I'm glad because when I step on them, I don't feel too bad. But, it's definitely, it can be something that plays a big part in people's lives. You know, I've played with girls who've had to wear contacts and on the field, which I just don't know because I'd be so scared that I'd lose one on the field and not see anything. But, Celia, what are some of the common challenges you see your clients have when it comes to their eyes?
I think probably with optometry or with looking after your eyes, people are the cost, and it can be intimidating to think, okay, someone's going to make me wear glasses, that sort of stuff, or it's going to cost me a lot of money if I have to have other treatment, like, you know, cataract surgery and those sort of things. I suppose the message with the Institute, which is really great, is that obviously we're a service, we're not trying to make money, and we are really just there for you. So you just come in, have a chat about it, we'll give you some really honest things, honest interpretation of things, and then we can sort out the glasses for you. And, yeah, if there's something else you require, like to see someone else for advice, we can sort that out, and there's no cost involved in those things. That's a really important thing because we don't want that getting in the way. I suppose that's the major thing, I think, with optometry and with eye health services. And the other thing is just that thing we mentioned before, which is, say if you have diabetes and you think, oh, I suppose you're sick of all the appointments too, I suppose, lots of appointments you have to go to. What's great about just talking to people, talk to your GP, talk to your Aboriginal health worker, talk to your nurse, your diabetic educator, your podiatrist, and we all kind of say the same thing, which is, look, if we just get this checked out once a year, we can, confirm everything's okay. Because with the eyes, essentially, we want to pick it up before you get symptoms, essentially. If you get any worries, we can see you straight away, of course. But essentially, it's that whole idea of don't be kind of thinking that, with diabetes, oh, my eyes are fine because I can see fine. We want to see you every year for an eye test with an optometrist if you've got diabetes. And for those little people, we want to see you for your first eye test once you've turned 5 or any time after that. If you've missed it, if you're 8, no shame.
We'll take
come
you.
In.
Hey, yep, never absolutely. Too late.
So that whole idea. So it's kind of that's kind of the main message, I think, with the challenges and also the tips as well,
Yeah, for those who have just tuned in, this is Deadly Choices Show on 98.9. Here I'm joined by Celia McCarthy, one of our eye health managers at the Institute for Urban Indigenous Health. I'm also joined by Talisha Harden, one of our Deadly Choices ambassadors and speech pathologists. We're talking all things sight for World Sight Day. I always picture, looking after your eyes, because it's always good to have a Doris. And hey, Talisha, in our community, we definitely having a Dory is kind of means, you're having a look, you're having a suss, you're checking it out. So who doesn't want to keep up, looking after their eyes? Because I'm a bit of a Doris. I like to have a look and a check out, see what's going on. And obviously, it's so important that we definitely look after our eyes, getting used to glasses and all things like that. Children and eye development. Now, Celia, give me a bit of a rundown about eye development in our young ones and how that works.
So when you're born, you've got all the parts to your eye there. But between the age of about 0 and 6 years old, then you go through a process. It's called differentiation. That's the fancy words for it. And essentially what that means is that just the eye parts develop and they get really good at picking up the information and telling the brain about that. So in those years, it's not exactly that your eyes grow. There's a tiny amount of growth, but it's mostly just a developmental thing. And so that's why we want to see kids around about that 5, sort of 6-year-old age group, because that's when they reach that adult vision. That's when they can be tested really well. They can often read the letters on the chart, or they can tell us what pictures they can see.
Is that when you start yelling at them to get back from the TV?
That's it, hey.
Before that's fine, because it's not developed, hey?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's a good. Well, yeah, actually, you're exactly right, because, of course, what happens with babies is they do things really close, and then exactly as you're saying, I know you're mucking around there, but yeah. Exactly as you're saying, over years, that their world gets bigger, essentially. They look out further and further, so... So that's the age group. We want to make sure both eyes work and both eyes working together. Mm. So that's why we want to see those kids around that 5 years. Yep.
Yeah, that's so important that we keep making sure that preventative health and making sure that, we look after our body and everything that works within it prior to getting sick.
And we're trying to get them, with that age group. Talisha might have some comments as well. She's a speechy and stuff, so she'll have comments about kids and stuff. But also we just want the kids to become optometrists. I want the kids to come in when they come in.
There's just a little plug.
They come in and I think it's pretty cool. They get to see photos of their own eyes. They get to understand, how we might talk about colour or we might take different things. And the kids, they go, oh, awesome. This is actually...
Window to your soul, eh?
I often ask them, do you want to become an optometrist? Nobody said, they say, some kids pick it up.
Yeah.
They like it better.
Actually, now that you mention it, I know we were talking before about how, for me, my eyes are, they're quite good at the moment. You've actually just... kind of flashback, but I, when I was 6 or 7, actually I had a lazy eye, so I had...
I still do, so it's all good.
I had corrective eye surgery.
Wow.
Yeah, as a kiddo, so I've just missed that one.
You forgot.
I completely forgot.
Yeah, wait, I did have something with my eyes.
I definitely did. Like, I was one of those kids with the, you know, had lots of ear infections and things like that too, but also had, had a quite... I don't know if this is the right word, but a prominent kind of lazy eye. Right. So I had corrective eye surgery, if that's the word, Celia, on both of my eyes. So they I think they didn't want to do one and not the other. But yeah, I had that done.
How old were you?
I was 6 or 7, year 2.
Yeah, right. Definitely so old enough 2. To remember, hey, and understand. Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah. So
where did you have that done?
I believe it was the Mater.
Yeah,
but
in Brisbane, yeah.
Yeah, but I could be wrong, but I definitely had it. Because, in primary school, I remember missing a fair chunk of school, you know, for that. I completely forgot about that one. But, that definitely happened.
Yeah. And I had a bad attitude when I was that age, I think. I was... I wouldn't say bad attitude. I'd say I was a free spirit because I couldn't focus. It didn't matter if I had speech problems or eye problems. I was not focusing. I was definitely that kid out and about. So for our kids that are having those challenges to overcome them at such an early age, because I find that our young ones are so flexible in that sense of developing new skills, but also, getting back on track with their learning. So something like eyes can really be dealt with, right, at such an early age, and hopefully then that carries on through the rest of our lives. And, you know, I see now with our older generation, you know, my grandmother having had cataract surgery a few times, and just seeing what it did to her balance was a huge thing. And I was like, oh man, like, I don't want my, you know, even as someone who plays a lot of sports, I was like, you know, my body, I think it's going to be a bit sore by the time I get that age anyway. So, you know, I want to make sure that everything else is helping me live my best life. So for those who just, tuning in right now, we're talking about World Sight Day, which is tomorrow, 14th of what month are we even in? I don't even know. October. I can't believe this. But here I'm joined by Talisha and Hardin and Celia McCarthy, and we're just having a yarn here for World Sight Day. But, we've got a few events too as well for the community listening. Celia, what are those?
Yeah, so we're going to go around I'm going to go see the BIOC Community Day.
Birthing in Our Community there in Salisbury with our Mums and Bubs Hub, one of my favourite groups. They're always fun. So what are you doing there at the Hub?
Oh, we're just going to have a yarn with people, give out some freebies.
Who doesn't love freebies?
So we've got some pretty cool stuff with the campaign. Well, I think it's cool. it's the campaign. And then we're going to also go to the Little Deadly Olympics.
Little Deadly's Olympics Day out there. That's this Saturday in Albion from, I believe, around 9 till lunchtime. So there's a lot going on there. If you want to know more about it, head to our Deadly Kindies Facebook page. But thank you so much for coming in, Celia, and having a yarn. And Talisha, do you try and convince your kids as much as Celia, you know, to pursue the life of speech pathology? I'm just interested. Is that what we're doing? I need to go start talking to 5-year-olds about comms and marketing, about radio hosting, I think.
Narcissus, but after today, I'm inspired. Yeah. So whenever our young ones come in now, I'm gonna make sure that they leave with a speech pathology brochure about what it is. But
Celia's doing the influence on the ground. People out here, social media influencers, they're all right, you know what I mean. But Celia McCarthy, she's influencing on the ground.
You just gotta watch. Give you a tip. No, I'm just joking. Just watch for their eyes to go.
It's all in the eyes. It's all in the eyes. I love that. But before we leave, what are some of the tips, Celia, we can get? Because I always, I think we always forget how eating healthy, not just our carrots, but eating healthy affects our eyes and everything that functions within our body. So, what are some of the really good tips I think that we can use to look after? I know for me, I try and get some fresh air and get some sunlight and make sure I'm just not in aircon all day, because I know it does dry my eyes out a bit more. But just making sure I also wear sunnies whenever it's hot out there.
Yep. Yeah, they're two good ones. Hydration's important, as you say, for your tears. And so, and then also your sunnies, that's a good one. And then really the rest of it is about healthy body. So green leafy vegetables are really important. And exercise. So because it's the eye has lots and lots of blood supply to it. So that's one of the things we, that's really interesting is that people say, oh, what should I do? He's, oh, yeah, just do things you're doing, having your 715 checks, you know, doing the best you can to get this information, and then eating and that exercise and all that stuff, which is a great message. The nuts are really good for your eyes.
Hey, so there you
like
go.
Particularly like almonds.
I heard it was always brain food, but hey,
yeah, it's exactly it's exactly the same idea. Exactly, it's that omega 3 thing.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so nuts are really good for your eyes. Yeah.
There you go, everyone, all you mob listening there. Nuts good for your eyes, and exercising and eating healthy is not just good for, you know, your mental health, your physical health, but it's really great for your eyesight as well. Before I let you go, Celia, what are the deadly choices that you're personally making right now in your life?
Yeah, so I'm... it's put me on the spot today because I hadn't planned one, even though I knew I had to. I was actually thinking what I'm trying to do is not eat late at night.
You're preaching to the choir. Honestly, that is my kryptonite.
I'm a late night snacker. I feel you.
The other night, I just had a random like Vegemite sandwich late at night, and it was just about as gone to bed, and I was just like, I was craving Vegemite, like nothing, and it did the job, but I felt guilty. Yeah, you're right, Celia. It's okay. You got company in that area. Now, Talisha, obviously right now your deadly choice, I'm just going to assume that your deadly choice is resting. It's we're in a period of time for women's rugby league where a lot of women are able to rest for the next seasons coming up. It seems like everyone's still training and still staying consistent, which is good to see. But for you, you know, what's kind of your priority now in your life?
Yes, it's probably the thing for me to probably use the next 3 months to work on some weaknesses that I have. So I avoid leg weights, avoid squats, avoid deadlifts, avoid kind of that lower body power.
It's just natural strength, isn't it? Natural brute, eh?
You know, these big quads I've got going on.
Tree trunks.
Big calves. but no, I always seem to avoid those. So the next few months has seen me link in with like a PT. So I'm going to do some more targeted lower body weights, lower body strength work because I've had lots of lower limb injuries.
Right,
a few ankle operations. Recently had a knee operation. So for me, it's all about strengthening and probably the flexibility side of thing as well because you know, I can't touch my toes. I can't, you know, can't stretch very well. So for me, it's all about recovery, but also just working on some of those weaknesses.
Yeah, I mean, what better time to do that is just to go on and get those 1%ers done that we always talk about. And I always like to think that October, November is about earning your keep, earning your festival season, earning all the festivities, being able to eat without any limits, being able to, you know, relax here and there. So I always, try and work on these 2 months. I haven't started yet, but I will, leading into that Christmas and holiday break. So it's so important. But Talisha, tell me, so 2021, what was that like for you? You know, it feels like we're already at the end in December, but what has the last, I guess, 9-10 months been like for you?
Yeah, well, off the back of 2020, 2021 started with a bang. Like everything was happening. It was all back to, I guess, whatever our version of normal is at the moment with all the COVID stuff calming down a little bit in Queensland. So, you know, we had All Stars happen again, which was great. That was in February. And then our club season with the BHP Premiership, that was all systems go. And, you know, between all the different women's clubs, we were all training really hard, playing every weekend. And then for me, I had that knee injury towards the back end of BHP. So, you know, things came to a little bit of a halt, but had Origin coming up. So was
still
really
got through to Origin, which is amazing comeback for that.
Still got through, which was
time.
Definitely, which was good to come back. And part of me is glad that I did rush back because obviously our NRLW season was postponed until 2022. So, you know, the first, I guess, 6 months of this year was so jam-packed, but for this time, I think it's just about spending time with family because often a lot of us as women athletes don't get to spend lots of time with family or have a social life, really.
Like, literally.
Yeah, actually plan to go and do things on weekends. So there's definitely a silver lining to...
It's funny, actually, because in my off-season, I put my head down and work and I know that I can contribute a bit more to work. So I start to enjoy work a bit more and you put in those later hours when you can and you just have a bit more energy for everything else and time to enjoy yourself as opposed to going to straight to training after work. Hey.
Yeah, 100%. And it probably have seen like an increase in my sleep and all that other stuff because, you know, there's no, I guess, footy side of things. But, you know, because we're so used to it as well, there's a part of me that's like, oh, you know, I wish we were just back playing footy.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, we'll go hard in 2022 with NRLW season. And then, yeah, it looks like a jam-packed 2022 schedule. So I'll just enjoy this next few months and I'm sure a lot of the other girls are the same.
Well, I assume not just for women's NRL but for everyone.
Mm.
There's been a few things put off towards the end of this year and that next year is going to be quite hectic. So, yeah, I definitely for me, I'm relaxing, I'm resting. We've got actually Salisbury, as we talked before, Mums and Bubs, I guess, vaccine hub, I Stepped Up event where you can go and get your COVID-19 vaccine there or ask any questions, a lot for our mums in that community too. So it'll be great there. But yeah, it seems like borders are going to be opening. There's people, you know, Sydney are out and about now. So it's going to be interesting times, which is a great opportunity for the mob to really step up and protect themselves, protect their community. Hearing you talk about all this really exciting stuff coming up next year, I think it's going to be busy. But like you said, Talisha, some very important to rest. And how important is rest when it comes to the big picture and the big, you know, goal?
Yeah, it's massive. It's huge, sis. I think you can't ever underestimate how much rest and recovery goes a long way to your mental and physical health. So for me, that was massive. But also like you know, I got to spend a lot of time working and at the grassroots level. Like we just, you know, had the Murray Carnival, which was really successful, especially with things like vaccinations and having the vaccine hub on site where mob could come in and not even if they didn't want to get the vaccine, but also have a chat to people and
ask
get more
their questions.
Information.
Yeah, absolutely.
100%. And obviously there were the incentives and things like that around it, you know, footy tickets and the deadly retro shirts that we saw out, the retro footy shirts, which was awesome. But it was just great to see, I think, at a grassroots community level, having the Murray Carnival back, one of my favourite events, if not my favourite event on the calendar. It was just so good. Like,
yeah,
even though,
just being out in the field again, playing with and against the sisters and being back in community and seeing everyone walk around again, that was just definitely a moment where I just had to, it's good to be back.
Yeah, it definitely was. Hey, and even the junior carnival before that, like it was
under 15
awesome.
Girls
yeah.
coming through, under 17, some amazing talent. I definitely hope I'm retired by the time they hit to open women's. But yeah, it's been great. It's been great to be back and be out. And what, you know, is there any kind of specific goals for next year, or are you just kind of taking it as it comes?
Yeah, just taking it as it comes. I actually had, funnily enough, planned on this year kind of being my last year of footy.
Right. But one of those ones,
one
back
of
again.
Them ones, yeah, but because everything was, I guess, postponed till next year, I think, you know, hopefully getting through injury free would be the big goal. With my, you know, my new deadly big legs, I'm going to be a bit more, I think, sturdy around the tackle area and stuff like that. But no, for me, just staying injury free, enjoying time with family. And then, yeah, just playing some good footy. That's probably the big goals. Yeah.
I love to see it. I love to see mob getting back on track and reaching their goals. And Talisha, you know, you've been one of those role models in our community, seeing a lot of the Indigenous girls come through in rugby leagues, just in throughout the small communities too, up in Townsville. I've seen those that had under 15s, I think, girls run through on the field. So it's awesome stuff. And yeah, thank you both for coming on, Celia. It's been a pleasure to have you on to you today for World Site Day tomorrow. And thank you, Talisha, for coming on as well and having a yarn.
Thanks, sister. Thanks for having us.
Movember is around the corner. It's about raising awareness about the importance of men's mental health. Every year, Deadly Choices get involved in Movember and encourage mob to take part in the movement too. Let's show our men that their community is behind them and that they have our support. How will you participate in Movember this year? You can donate $50 to our Deadly Choices Movember team to receive a special edition Movember shirt. Get moving for Movember by walking, exercising, or participating in one of our DC Fit live sessions. Grow a deadly mo, or get a 715 health check with a participating clinic. Contact your local clinics to see how they will be taking part in Movember this year. We want to keep our men around, keep them strong, and keep them modelling positive behaviours in the community. So get behind the movement this year and support our men. For more information on how you can get involved, check out our Deadly Choices Facebook page.
A message from the Institute for Urban Indigenous Health.
Station sponsor. You're tuned to Deadly Choices Radio. With your host, Sinead Clements.
All right, welcome back, you mob. This is the Deadly Choices show on 98.9 FM for the best country. Now I'm going to be joined by one of our doctors, one of our regulars, Dr. Jonathan from Brisbane at 6. He's going to come on today and give us a bit of a rundown of where we're at with COVID-19. Dr. Jonathan, how are you going?
Yeah, really well, thanks, Sinead. How are you?
Very, very good. Now, it seems like, I feel like I've said this so many times, but we've rode another wave here in Queensland, particularly yeah. In Brisbane. There's been zero cases reported this, at the start of this week. So, you know, being Wednesday yeah. night here, we're still doing pretty well. So, give us a bit of a rundown of where we're at.
Yeah, I think you're right. We did very well. I think probably better than we would have expected, really. There were a couple of cases, in the last couple of weeks where people were out and about in community infectious for, I think, over a week, a couple of them, and didn't really turn into too many cases. So that's really good. And we've, since then really had very few local cases. There's been a couple of people who are in home quarantine already. So, yeah, I think Queensland's were kind of on the other end of this recent sort of cluster. And, just keeping on pushing on with our efforts to prevent infection, really.
Yeah, and as well, it's change of season. I know I got a little bit under the weather with a cold during this change of season. Yep. Bit of a rain out there now too. So it's still so important we don't get complacent with this, right?
Absolutely. And, don't assume that cold symptoms are not COVID. Most of the time they won't be, of course, and just from a stats point, statistical point of view, but it's that sort of one case in tens of thousands. If we don't get onto it quickly, then it can turn into a lot more. And once it kind of takes hold, like we've seen down south in Sydney and Melbourne, you're kind of then into the long haul to get out the other end of it. I think if we can be at a place where people get themselves tested quickly when they get any cold or flu symptoms, reassure yourself and everyone around you that it's not COVID.
Absolutely. And I know, when I got my test, it was quite easy. Literally a couple of minute drive down the road, and it was one of those kind of outdoor testing setups. And I know back when I first did it, it was a bit of a tickle down the throat, but honestly, I think they're getting better. I don't know if this guy was a magician, but it felt like nothing. So it was so easy to get that test. And I didn't really want to leave my house until I did, just because, I understand that it was a bit of a dark cloud hanging over. And I think that's so important that we do normalize that, we don't leave until we get those tests, get the all clear to get back out in community again.
Yeah, that's right. And it's good, even if you've got some symptoms, even if you get your COVID test back and it's clear, just to kind of make sure you're not passing it on, those symptoms, to others, because then they've got to get tested and stay at home and all that as well. So, but I think, as a community, we've been much better at our hand hygiene and covering our mouths and, using face masks and sort of keeping our distance from people to prevent. So we've seen much lower levels of the flu and all of those other things, which is great, because they make us sick as well, and time off work and school and everything.
Absolutely. And now that borders will be relaxing, Sydney's they're allowed to be out and about now, the Christmas heading is coming up soon, so it's so important that if you have an opportunity to get vaccinated in these next 2 months, it's actually gonna, I think in the next 6 to 12 months really determine where we're going to be at, whether we really step up right now for the jab in the next couple of months.
Yeah, definitely. And, it's probably looking like the chance of us having an outbreak from someone coming up from Sydney, it's probably a bit lower each month into the warmer months when everyone's outside more and we're the more of us that are vaccinated. So I think what we're heading towards now is the point where the borders do open. And the Queensland government's already starting to talk about, when everyone's had their opportunity to be vaccinated and we're at that 80% or wherever, the borders will open, and I guess what we really don't want to see is sort of vulnerable communities, whether that's geographic or cultural communities, who are kind of left behind and end up vulnerable to a COVID infection, particularly for those who are older or got health conditions. So I think, if you're thinking kind of when's the time, I've been waiting and for more information or whatever, I think have a really serious look at it now, because now you can get your chance to get both doses in before borders open and you know, COVID comes into community.
Absolutely. Now, you know, we talk about everyone having different experiences with it, and, you know, our bodies are definitely our choice, but our choice, it impacts the community. It impacts the rest of the rest of the world. But Dr. Jonathan, you know, right now with the difference between those who are COVID and those who don't, the vaccine really plays a part in the symptoms that we've seen, hey?
Yeah, so it definitely reduces your chance of getting the infection in the first place, but it's not 100%. So some people who have been fully vaccinated will still get COVID, but the chance of you ending up in hospital, in ICU, and even dying from COVID are much, much lower if you've been vaccinated. And we're pretty sure that your chance of passing it on is lower as well, especially because you're less likely to get it in the first place. So, yeah, I think we'll be really happy if we turn COVID into a common cold for everyone. We can't avoid colds and flus completely, but what we don't want to see is people ending up in hospital with it and getting really sick.
Yeah, like you said, you know, I've had yarns to mob out at Will Kenya and Broken Hill there in New South Wales, you know, just with the severity of the symptoms and not having that access to healthcare, obviously being out in smaller communities. Those are really situations we're definitely trying to avoid. And we do have, you know, places like Cherbourg, Indigenous remote community about 3 hours north of Brisbane here. But, you know, places like that, they're a couple of hours away from bigger cities and they don't have those accesses. Yep. So it's so important that we make sure that we prevent that from happening.
Yeah, that's right. And I think, you know, we've got really good hospital systems in Australia and in Queensland, but they've got their limits too. You know, they're not flush with enormous amount of resources all the time. So at the very least, even if there's a decent number of COVID cases, the hospitals will have to kind of knock off some of the elective surgeries that people rely on for, you know, joint replacements and different other sort of elective operations that help them with their quality of life. And I think there's those things, but also even if we were really overwhelmed with COVID, it'd be tough to kind of people to get the perfect care that we want to be able to provide. So yeah, I think, and as you say, there's sort of more rural, remote areas where access to kind of ICU beds and all of that, you've got to leave town to go and do that, or and access is just a bit more tricky. So yeah, I think when this is a great prevention mechanism. I was going to add just around the vaccine that, and we've talked a bit before about booster doses, but the technical advisory group on immunisations has recommended a third primary dose for people who have severe immune sort of system problems. And that can be for a range of reasons. Yeah, so that's sort of rolling out now, really. So rather than seeing it's not really a booster, it's sort of for people whose immune system hasn't really given them a good response to start with, and it's a bit hard to test. So we're just kind of assuming it for some people. So if you've got blood cancer or had cancer treatment sort of more recently, or an organ transplant or stem cell transplant, there's a few other conditions as well. But probably if you've been told before that you've got immunodeficiency or compromise, then probably good talk to your GP and just find all your specialists and find out if you should be up for a third dose.
Yeah, for those who are just tuned in, I'm here having a talk with Dr. Jonathan on the Deadly Choices show here on 98.9 FM for the best country. Now, we've just been talking about the third dose for those who immune system have, I guess, taken a bit of a hit and perhaps may need that extra dose. So, you know, as we've always yarned here, Dr. Jonathan, the best thing to do is go talk to your local GP, the one who knows you and your health issues, I guess, or challenges the best. And yeah, doing the good work for you. So thank you, Dr. Jonathan, for coming on and having a yarn with us today and giving us all that information. And you know what, Dr. Jonathan, like the amazing work that our doctors are doing, and it's seeing that, you know, we're at 70% here in Queensland for dose one, for first doses. So that's really, you know, 80% chance, 80% goal there of double vax here in Queensland is so close. So, you know, the community, the state, we're doing really amazing work. But but there's definitely a push, particularly in the next couple of months, of mob just really making sure you do the right thing by yourself and by your community, whatever that may be. We're always urging mob to just step up, and if you can, take the vaccine to protect everybody.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, thank you, Dr. Johnson.
Yeah, thanks, Sinead. Have a good one.
I'll let you go.
Thanks. Bye.
Well, there you go. That was Dr. Jonathan from the Brisbane at Six Health Service here in Brisbane. He comes on from time to time and gives us a bit of an update, and definitely answers all my questions and my concerns about COVID-19 and where we're at. Like I said, we just surfed another wave, so very, very, very lucky. But it's no time to be complacent or to forget about COVID-19. We've still got to protect ourselves, our community, and mostly our vulnerable. I know I definitely stepped up for my grandmother and to protect her and my grandfather, as their immune systems aren't great. And it's definitely been something that I'm proud of. If you want more health advice, particularly around COVID-19, there's our Deadly Choices Facebook page, Queensland Health website, and make sure you keep out for our I Stepped Up campaign, which we have I Stepped Up events where you can get vaccinated, potentially if we're in a clinic close to you. So that's important. Thanks for tuning in tonight, everyone. It's always important that we make sure that we have choices out there, and that we choose the best choice for not only ourselves but our community. So upcoming events for Deadly Choices. You know, as I said, it's nearly the end of the year, but it's been a year full of some great stuff there. Unfortunately, lockdown definitely took away a few events, but we've been lucky enough to get a few events in as well. You know, one being the Queensland Murray Rugby League Carnival that Talisha mentioned earlier on in the show. But remember, to be involved in any of our events, you must have your 715 health check. So that is just the generic health check to make sure, you know, the body's functioning and all good and going really well, and we can catch anything that's any health issues that are coming up on the horizon. So, it's important that we make sure that we look after any of those preventative health issues coming our way. And you can get your 2021 Deadly Choices shirt. There's heaps of them there before the year's end, and that means next year you can get the 2022 shirt straight up, which is awesome. So make sure you call your local clinic, and you can head and find out near where your local clinic is at www.deadlychoices.com.au. You can tune into our Deadly Choices Facebook page too. That's where, you know, you can get a lot of information. There's weekly live sessions there. There's podcasts like Pearls of Wisdom, Good Quick Tucker. There's Deadly Kindy play groups and activities for you to do with your little ones. There's DC Fit, so if you're looking to shed a few before Chrissy comes around and before the holiday comes around, make sure you check that out. You can do it from your lounge room even. But there's so much more there on our Deadly Choices Facebook page. Like I said, there's the Little Deadlies Olympic Day out. You can find more information on our Facebook page there too. But lastly, our respiratory testing clinics. They're in Southeast Queensland. They're still open. If you're experiencing any COVID-19 symptoms, no matter how mild, book in a test and make sure you know, get the all clears before you can get out and get back in community again. So stay safe, you mob. COVID-19 still there. It's still so important that we look after everyone and make sure we look after ourselves. So remember, there's I Stepped Up events happening all the time. So check out our Deadly Choices Facebook page. But until next week, you mob, keep making those deadly choices. And it's your girl Shanae, and I'll see you back next week, Wednesday night, same place, same time. So we'll catch you then.
Deadly Choices Radio. A show encouraging mob to make healthy choices, from stop smoking, eating good food, exercising daily, and getting a health check for themselves and their family. Featuring Deadly Choices ambassadors, the Healthy Lifestyle Mob, and many more. So tune in to Deadly Choices after 6 p.m. each Wednesday and on demand at 989fm.com.au.